run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back to their representative government.
KHEN 106.9 Salida. And again, this is Truth Quest with Melody. And that was Revolution by Poker Face. And tonight, I've got another great guest with me. And this is Leon Smith with the Lone Star Iconoclast. And tonight, we're going to kind of get into a conversation a little bit with about Ghost Troop and Captain May. And are you there, Leon?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, let me adjust the volume just a little bit. Is that
okay.
Better?
Yes.
Okay, great. And also, he sent me, which I'd kind of like to, if you don't mind, let me play right up front here a song that he'd kind of written. And then after it plays, I'll let him kind of explain it just a little bit. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay.
A shadow and greeting is all there is. Miss the fascist parade. The clowns of government flaunt their fangs just to make you afraid. We live in the darkness of no account. We feast on the vomit of lies. The maggots, they swarm this land of ours. But our hope never dies. They drowned the bullets in blood, oh man. They drowned the bullets in mud. They drowned the bullets in mud, my child. They drowned the bullets in blood. Albatross wings, they cover the sun. After destiny, a myth pervade. But the dove is truth in America's heart. In the winds of war charade. Defense is offense, and newspeak is king. In a coffin prepared for grief. Prostitutes mangle the fourth estate, so justice won't intercede. They drowned the bullets in blood, oh gal. They drowned the bullets in blood. They drowned the bullets in blood, my friend. They drowned the bullets in blood. The wake-up call is now not when. The homeland is ours to gain. Ideals of truth and justice and peace belong on our freedom train. Your name's on the bullet that sails in Iraq. Your name's on the bullet at home. Till justice prevails and scoundrels are tasked, that bullet continues to roam. They drown the bullets in blood, my son. They drown the bullets in blood. They drown the bullets in blood, my lord. They drown the bullets in blood.
Okay, I guess I better introduce Leon a little bit better there, because he is the owner and editor of the Lone Star Iconoclast, and that happens to be in the hometown of our president, and I bet that can kind of create some interesting things for you, because it seems like you don't necessarily back him, if I'm correct.
That's correct. Back in 2004, a lot of people became aware of the Iconoclast when we did not endorse Bush for president. And that, you know, caused us all kinds of problems, because we're in the heart of you know, neocon country, the reddest part of the reddest state. And we were boycotted, and we had cancellations of subscriptions. And we had cancellations of advertising. People pulled their stands from their businesses. And, you know, we were in pretty bad shape on that. But because of the national attention that came from it, we started getting contacts with people all over the world. And a lot of people had been reluctant to come out against the president because of fear and because of antagonism by, you know, neoconservative people, and they became empowered to state their opinions, you know, about Bush and about the White House and about the lies. So that's where we came from as far as the national interest goes.
Okay, and before I get too far away from the song that I just played, I thought maybe you might kind of like to tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it was written about a month ago. I did the lyrics, and one of our staff members who is into music, Tim Kleine, wrote the tune and performed for a single that we thought we would put out. That is somewhat of an anthem of our times. A lot that's in here is fairly symbolic. It goes back to some old literature, you know, like referring to the albatross, and some of it goes back to like Newspeak, that's 1984, Orwellian. But if you read or listen to the lyrics very carefully, I think they tell a story that, you know, it defines our times somewhat. And that's what we tried to do. We wanted to get into promoting entertainment elements more so in our newspaper, and we thought this might be a good place to start. Kleine came up with a tune that it's very catching, we think. It's a little bit like, are you familiar with Sherry Lewis, the puppeteer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, on her show on TV, she had a song called The Song That Never Ends. It goes on and on, my friend. This is around and around and around. The song never ends. It gets in your head and you can't get it out. Well, this song is the same way. The tune is. And we hope people will go into our site at www.lonestaricon.com and download it if they like it.
Well, great. That you're kind of right. I'm getting it's kind of going in my head over and over. One of the reasons that we're doing this interview tonight was I was asked by Captain Eric May to have you on my radio program, and unfortunately I'd really have liked to have had my co-host here tonight, but he will be here when we do have Captain May and another person that is a member of Ghost Troop. But Captain May is the person who created a group called Ghost Troop, and that you've been publishing a lot of his articles. So would you like to go into that a little bit?
Sure. First of all, I'd like to say that, to me, Captain May is a true American patriot. He's one of the most courageous guys I've ever met, and one of the most intelligent. And he has a good feel for what's going on behind the scenes. And the creation of Ghost Troop began after the Battle of Baghdad, when the mainstream media was focusing on Jessica Lynch, a human interest story. You know, instead of one of the biggest battles that we've had in decades. And, of course, the Jessica Lynch story was fabricated. And that alerted him because he had a background in intelligence and the way propaganda worked. And, you know, it's just like writing on the wall. So he wanted to honor the troops that died in the Battle of Baghdad Airport. And so he created this cyber intelligence ghost troop, which did that, but also it had a purpose of missions. And the first mission, of course, was to honor those troops. And the second mission was exposing the 9/11 cabal and to help energize the 9/11 truth movement, which I think he played a key role in that. And the third mission, which is ongoing, is a thing he calls 9/11-2B, the numbers 911-2 in the letter B, and its purpose is to predict where the next 9/11 might occur. You know, when there are certain elements that are in place that tend to follow events like this, his ghost troops all over the world feed him information, and he keeps track of this. And if there's a place or an event that is shaping up like it could happen, then he wants the populace to know about it, at least be aware. And also by shining a spotlight on this, it could tend to keep it from happening. And some of the experiences he's had in doing this have worked. I mean, he's been pretty accurate in his predictions. He was able to determine that there's a certain numerology that's used that it's basically, I guess, a language so that different groups that might perpetrate these crimes can communicate. They use power dates, things like that, to communicate among themselves and to be aware that, hey, this is a power date, such is going to happen. We can capitalize on it. We can be ready to raise oil prices if a refinery is hit. It's a way for the big corporations to go in and rip off the little guy. But he's been fairly successful at that. There have been several dates that he's predicted. And when things have happened. None of them have been as major as 9/11. But you can usually look for military exercises taking place. That's one of the things, but there are many others. And we're utilizing our newspaper to help him as a columnist, as our military analyst, give that information to the public.
Well, you know, before you get too far on that, I'd like to say that, you know, you have to be pretty patriotic in your own right to be able to go against the grain. Most media is not, wouldn't even cover a lot of this that Captain May has written about. And he's a very fine journalist. And I didn't even, I mean, going back and doing research on this just to do this program, it really became even more apparent to me when I went back and was reading his work. Mm-hmm. And to speak out in the areas that you're not going to hear it from others, that with his background. And I mean, there's wonderful patriots out there that are really speaking up for things that are taking place in our world right now. But he's unique, and what brought me to listening to his message and whatever is, I mean, this guy has a background that's unbelievable.
Yeah, he has a great background. He's a fantastic writer, one of the best I've ever read. He's very good with words. He takes his time. I help him, or we, I really don't help him. We edit some of his stuff together at times. And, you know, he'll go back over a story several times to get the point exactly where he wants it. And it's usually right on target. And, you know, I really appreciate that as an editor. But, yeah, he's a great writer. And he's willing to stand up to anybody. Which, you know, nowadays, most people will back off. They'll cower down. They don't want conflict. Well, Captain May has never been afraid of conflict. And I think that's extremely admirable. And, you know, I admire him for that. The thing about the mainstream media not running stories and columns like this is that most of them are owned by the big corporations that stand to gain financially when disasters happen. And, you know, it's in their best interest not to let on to the public what's about to happen or could be about to happen. You know, it's kind of like...
But that's what the purpose of the media is supposed to be.
It's supposed to be a watchdog, and that's where the media has fallen down greatly. But it's kind of like if you can visualize an old Western town, and there are people in the town, and they someone says that there's likely to be a train robbery right outside of town on such and such date, and this group is probably going to do it. Well, if that gets out and this group had planned to do it, they're not going to. It would be stupid to. And, you know, that's what a lot of what he has done and what we've helped him do is to try to alert the public that something might be going to happen. And I think there have been some cases where the interdiction has kept things from happening. There was one incident at Texas City that happened one day after his prediction. And the day was like the 27th of the month. And according to the cryptanalysis code, embedded code, that's the date that would have been a power day for something to happen. Well, he got the information out that this might happen on this day. And so the eyes were turned to that date. And nothing happened, but they happened the next day when no eyes were turned towards it. And so, you know, that's the sort of thing.
Well, they're called false flag events.
Yes, they're called false flag events if you do it to yourself, basically, and blame somebody else.
And this is not uncommon with various governments doing that sort of thing to their people to create their ability to go into conflicts or bring about certain taking of the rights or things of that along that line.
Yeah, it goes back in history. It's happened a lot of times, and it's a scenario that will happen again and again. You can count on it. But right now, we want it to not happen. You know, we don't want to see a lot of people die because of a an explosion somewhere, or because, you know, for the idea of profit. And that's what it's, I think, largely with power and profit for big corporations. And, you know, there are a lot of companies that really benefit off the war. And
that's a dangerous part about this public-private partnership type thing, in a sense, because unfortunately it's where the government's kind of intermingling with the corporations to the point where they blend so much that it's kind of hard to tell the difference.
Well, one of the problems is that the common everyday person is finding himself attached to what you might call a grid, like, for instance, credit cards. You know, almost everybody has credit card debt. And then there are insurance companies, big insurance companies, you know, that charge all kinds of outrageous fees, especially here in Texas. You've got oil companies. You've got energy companies. And what they're doing is they're making it harder and harder for the common everyday person to survive. I mean, used to, I've had people work for me where you know, the husband or the wife worked and the other one didn't. They stayed home, pretty much took care of the kids and took care of other things. Now everybody's got to work, and they work two jobs a lot of times, and they still can't pay their bills. And that's becoming more commonplace. And as we're entering a very bad economy, I expect things will probably get worse. There'll be more violence, and there will be more you know, problems for families. But the America really needs to start getting off some of these grids. And there's some people working to come up with solutions that are kind of in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect that some of these elements will start coming out soon. One thing, you talked about privatization. And one thing I'm looking into currently, you know, if you think about the United States Postal Service, and how every year, it seems, we're paying more and more and more to mail letters and packages, and the service is getting worse and worse and worse. You would think in our day and time that you would have a clean, efficient system that would handle this, you know, at a price that's not outrageous. But you think about it, who's actually benefiting from a poor system? And, you know, with the high prices and credit card companies, those type places, because if mail gets delivered late, they put late charges on credit cards. They make a lot of money doing that. And I've had a lot of people complain to me that, you know, they mail their payments in on time or even as soon as they get the bills, and they always arrive one day late. And they get charged an extra charge of $20 or $30. You multiply this times millions of people, that's a lot of money. They benefit from a poor postal service.
I never even thought of that aspect of it.
There was an incident that I was involved in about 2 weeks ago. I was a customer of Altel. You know, they're a cell phone company. And, you know, I paid my bill in November, I think on the 17th, and they deposited my check. It was a paper check, deposited it to their bank. But then the next month, that same check got deposited again. And so that particular account of mine is one I don't keep a lot of money in, and it completely wiped it out, and I overdrafted. So I was charged an overdraft fee for a check that went through twice. So I called my local bank.
Hmm.
First of all, what alerted me to this, let me back up, I received a letter from J.P. Morgan Chase, which was Altel's bank. And they had sent me a letter saying that they had deposited the check twice, and if I was given any extra charges, that they would put money in my account. So I called my bank, and they said, well, this has happened. They've been dealing with this all week, and that they were concerned that the country was getting away from, you know, paper checks. they suggested I call Alltel. So I called Alltel. And they said, well, it's not our fault. This is our bank's fault, that they had some kind of a clerical error, and they just deposited the check twice. It's never going to happen again. They suggested that they patch me in to Chase. And I said, are you all in the same building? And they said, they're set up to do, you know, help us out here. I said, okay. So they patched me in. First person I got on the phone said, no, this is not our fault. This is Alltel's fault. It's actually the fault of their new bank. I said, well, what's the name of the new bank? Because I want to know who stole my money. And they didn't know the answer. They didn't know the name of the bank. So I ended up talking to a supervisor, and he said, yes, it was Chase's problem, and it was never going to happen again. Everything was automated, and they have the ability to go into people's bank accounts and take the money out, and they hoped it never happened again. In fact, he said it wouldn't happen again. And I wanted to talk to somebody higher up to find out where the money went, who ended up with it, and, you know, why actually this happened. I wanted to know the individual responsible, because I considered it being somebody robbing the bank. They took money out of my personal banking account, you know?
Right, right.
If I had done that, I'd be in jail.
Right. So.
But anyway, I was stonewalled. So I'm pursuing it in other, you know, legal means, because I want the answers. But this is one situation. One thing, but let me back up. In the letter I got, they said this was an isolated incident. Well, come to find out, it happened to 27,000 people.
Yeah, so, yeah, but I've gotten that in so many different aspects with phone companies and the other. I realize these aren't accidents. This becomes business. That's a business practice.
Uh-huh.
But one thing that came up today, getting back to Ghost Troop, is, you know, tomorrow is Captain May's birthday, and it'll be his 48th. And in the meantime, when we were talking about him being a true patriot, it doesn't come without risk. And I thought maybe in one of his articles that he wrote for your Iconoclast, he kind of got into what has happened to him while he's been in this speaking up for the public and doing his patriotic duty, and him coming down with Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah, he's been dealt a pretty solid blow there. And, you know, really it's unknown for sure exactly why someone at that age in such great health previously had this happen to them all of a sudden. And, you know, there's some thought that maybe this was caused. There was a soldier that he had been dealing with somewhat in the intelligence community who, at the same time, approximately suffered a brain embolism. And he survived it. And there's just, it raises a lot of questions, because if you look at what's happening in the world, a lot of people are being, quote-unquote, eliminated. They're vanishing. And so, who knows? But there's some concern there.
There's a lot of heart attacks and strokes that come to people that are happen to be in the midst of precarious situations becomes convenient for them not to be gone. That's for sure. And getting back to this ALS, that the Lou Gehrig's disease, he'd come across some other people while he's being treated, and apparently a lot of it's higher among the vets,
mm-hmm.
and it appears that it might be, and they don't necessarily have to be deployed. Are you familiar with, you know, what he got?
Yeah, he told me a little bit about his visit, I think, to Washington, and he had talked to some soldiers. I think the statistics bear out that they're more likely to come down with ALS. And, of course, other I don't know if you call it a disease or as a condition as well. Of course, you know, if you go back to the Gulf War and the problems that have come up with depleted uranium exposure, you know, we still don't know enough about that as to how it really long-term affects a person's system.
I had Doug Rocky on last week, who's kind of the Army's expert in that area.
Yeah, I know Doug.
Yeah, he's a
good guy.
Yeah, he is. And since then, after having him on the program, he's kind of alerted me to some really fine people out there taking on the cause of you know, getting treatment for veterans, because it appears that it's just an uphill battle once they come down with something for them to get the VA to help them out. I haven't heard that, you know, Captain Mays had any problems along that line, but I'm sure I'm going to be having him on the 22nd. And actually, Captain May had come on my program a couple of months ago, too, and we had a very fine interview. And I, you know, each time I listen to his interviews, I learn new things. I'm going over some of these articles. Each one of them are, you know, unique and really cover different subjects. One of them was, you know, his coming down with his illness. Another one had to do with kind of going back to, you know, the cover-up of the Battle of Baghdad. And we'd mentioned that earlier in the program.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think a lot of people have a clue about the Battle of Baghdad.
Well, I don't think they do either. You know, I think common wisdom on that is that we actually nuked them. And, you know, so we were losing that battle. But the mainstream media was not there covering it on purpose. You know, they were focusing on Jessica Lynch. And it's just really disappointing because those soldiers fought and they died and they deserve recognition.
And that's what Ghost Troop was named after, because there was a significant number of soldiers that died in that aren't even counted. They're not even, and that's why he called it Ghost Troop.
Of course, I've always wondered about the camps that are coming out of Iraq, if they're really accurate. I don't think they are.
I don't think they're even close.
I think they're a lot higher.
Because when you look at the amount of, when you go onto the VA site, those numbers don't even come, you know, match what, you know, they're putting out in the press.
Well, you know, you can look at the appropriations, you know, and compare that with, you know, the body count, and they don't match up at all. You know, so many caskets appropriated for this many dead soldiers. Where does it equal out? And there's no explanation.
Well, I also know, I mean, they don't even count the mercenaries that are in there either, so those numbers are totally left out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as, and I don't, you know, so we don't even know how many are in these other private companies, or do we? Are you familiar with that?
I don't know the numbers. No, I sure don't.
And I'm not sure that I've heard anybody come up with any kind of numbers. All we hear is that, you know, those that died on the battlefield and those that die, you know, up in the airplane as it's leaving don't get counted.
Well, I've heard that, like, if a soldier dies right there on the ground, it counts. But if he gets, you know, injured and it's hauled off to Germany, well, it doesn't count.
Right, right. So, do you want to get into any other little aspects of you know, your relationship with Captain May?
Well, I first came in contact with him after the August 2005 vigil that Cindy Sheehan held at Camp Casey in Crawford. He was there. I never met him there, but following that, I don't remember how we exactly got in touch. But we had a conversation, and I thought at the time, he's pretty far out there in some things, but the more you talk to him and the more that you really think about it, he's not. I mean, he's right on target. And since then, he's been writing articles for us that I think are very useful. I think his articles have saved a lot of lives. And I'm just, you know, proud that he's doing this with us and that, you know, we're able to help.
He's phenomenal in the amount of, you know, when there are events that he feels there could be a possible false flag event, and one of the more recent ones would have been the one that they were watching in Portland when they were having a lot of drills going on. And again, one of the reasons why they're having all that they shine light on this is Oklahoma City had a drill going on at the time when that took place that was supposedly for the same exact reason. And the same thing happened with, I believe, London and their bombing, and Madrid and their bombing, and in 9/11. So when you start having those many coincidences, well, then it's about time that, you know, we might want to start paying attention to this, because they have a tendency to repeat them.
They do. And of course, one thing he does use is some of the numerology to in the predictions. It's not his numerology. It's probably more like skull and bones type. You know, but he's been able to decode it, and it always fits, which is really strange. But, yeah, Portland was a we did a pretty good spread on that. In fact, we had someone on the ground there named William Fox, who lived in that area, and he interviewed a lot of the military people and police, law enforcement, and was able to try to pin them down on various elements. And strangely, a lot of them didn't have any clue what was going on. But he did a great article for us, and he worked with Captain May on some of that. But we wanted to have somebody there.
I'm going to have him on in a, you know, on the 22nd as well.
Okay, well, good.
With Captain May.
Yeah, he's an extremely intelligent guy, you know, and he's also a patriot, you know.
There, like I said, there's so many of them out there, and I'm amazed. I mean, it would be really saddened to find out how many people that have been passed away or gone away that were patriots in their own right too, but were vilified. And this country really does have some. You know, some top-notch people. One of them right now is Sybil Edmonds. That lady is one of the gutsiest ladies I've ever heard of. I mean, and she's, from what I understand, she's not even, you know, born in the U.S., if I'm not mistaken. But, I, you know, I'm not sure if I'm right on that. But
well, there are a lot of people involved in the 9/11 truth movement, and that's something that has people in Washington bothered. You know, they're concerned because this is going to come out. You know, it's a fact that the official story is full of holes, and at some point when the truth is really known, then we're going to see heads roll, and we're going to have a lot of upset people in this country. And that's something that there are patriots involved in that too. There are people that are putting themselves completely on the line to try to get to the truth, and they're finding obstacles all over the place. They're being discredited. You know, they're being told that they're quote-unquote conspiracy theorists. You know what I mean?
Right,
they,
right. Kill the argument before you even get a chance to get to the truth.
Exactly. And the American public, you know, they all they see when they watch the TV news, for instance, and a lot of the papers is just the official stories from the corporate entities. And they really don't know exactly what's happening. They could really get a better view if they check publications in other countries. They're a lot more honest than they are here. And because they don't care. You know, they're concerned about, you know, being the next target. After we did our editorial in 2004, I was interviewed by a lot of foreign journalists, just about every European country, Australia, you know, South America.
Is that after doing Captain May's?
Now, this was before Captain May.
Oh, okay.
But what they were telling me was that they were concerned about what the United States might do next. Their country's working. These are reporters, people that hear what's going on. And I interviewed them, basically. I asked them questions, you know, and they were telling me that they were, their country people were very concerned because Bush was a loose cannon.
Is, you know, do you think that just started with the Bush administration, or when they just woke up?
No, I think a lot of that started with the Bush administration. The trouble is, over here in the United States, the American public are only seeing one side, and that's the corporate side of the news, and they're buying into it. There's been some movement more recently with them asking questions. And I think that some of what Captain May is doing is helping show people, you know, these are questions you need to ask. You need to be concerned and try to dissect what you hear and really put it into a correct perspective. And I think they're starting to do that somewhat. There's a pretty substantial internet and grassroots effort going on for Ron Paul right now. And I think that is getting, you know, whether he wins or loses, I don't think really at this point can be determined, but I think the effort is getting the public interested and concerned and motivated somewhat.
Is he in your district?
No, he's not in my district, but he and Tom DeLay are right there together, you know, or were together. DeLay's not in now, but right there at Texas City, which was one of the target areas that Captain May had predicted something might happen at, and it did. So there's just a lot going on behind the scenes, and I think the American public is starting to get wise. Even down here in Texas, I'm having more and more people come to me and say, Leon, hey, you were right. You know, when we went for Kerry over Bush, because we had put some things in that editorial that were abrasive at the time and very unexpected. And it was like we were way out there in left field. We didn't understand how great this guy was. And they were just mesmerized by him.
My only concern I actually did register to be a Republican, which I would have never, ever figured I would have done that. But I pretty much stayed independent. But my only concern is again, you know, he's one man, and you've got a lot of Congress and other people there that seem to have another agenda that isn't the same of what Ron Paul is speaking about. And when you're listening to some of these debates, he may sound like he's in left field to compared to some of the other statements, but he seems to be really getting quite a momentum going for his campaign.
Well, you know, one area you can look at would be the Republican debate Sunday, where Ron Paul was left out.
Right.
Because he wasn't a major candidate. That was ridiculous. That shows exactly where the corporate structure is. They selected their candidates, and it can be Democrats and Republicans. You know, they pick candidates that they like that will do their bidding, both in both parties, and then they don't care which one you elect because they've got their guys in there. And but Ron Paul's not one of them, apparently. And there's some Democrats that I think are pretty much away from the corporate structure. I would think that Mike Gravel and, of course, Dennis Kucinich are two that I think are not owned by the corporations.
Well, they certainly shut him out.
There may be another Democrat, but I'm not sure. We're doing some research.
Uh-huh. Well, I was also looking at, you know, when you were talking about the, 9/11 in itself is a code. And one of the things that I've been looking at quite a bit lately, and although I became aware of it over shortly after 9/11 was how they repeated words over and over and over again, and particularly when they were having the election after that, when I didn't have any understanding of the psychology behind what was taking place. I just knew there was something weird going on. And I'd find, well, there's WMD, and no, there's no WMD. And I finally realized through some neurolingual programming information that I'd come across that the mind doesn't hear no. So if one side's saying WMD and the other side saying no WMD, the mind is hearing WMD, WMD, I can't even say it, but they're hearing the, it's hearing the same thing over and over again, and it's a brainwashing program, essentially.
Exactly.
And it's, I don't have TV. I mean, I have TV, but I don't watch it, but very little. And about 3 weeks ago, I actually did go down to Texas and was in a motel, and I actually did hear some TV, and I realized, man, it's all over the television. These code words and everything is scripted.
Yeah, it is. You know, there was a DVD put out by Dave von Kleist. I think it's 9/11, The Ripple Effect. And there's a segment in it where there's a London TV station that is talking about one of the buildings having fallen. I think it was the second
one. Oh, yeah, right.
One of those buildings. And that... in the background, you can see the building still standing.
The Solomon Building.
Yeah, okay, you're familiar with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was, when that start first got sent out, I think it was Brass Check, is it? I think that, there's a video group that will send out little tidbits on videos, and that was sent out, and it was amazing because most people here only knew it as building number 7 if they'd even heard of it.
Uh-huh.
But on the British TV, they called it the Solomon Building. So that was scripted.
Yeah. I've talked to several people that have been involved in the, and still are in the military, and you know, they've told me that there's no way 9/11 could have happened the way it did. That, you know, you think about it, for these guys, if they were, flying these planes to run into these buildings, then they would have to have help from our government to be able to time that right and to be able to actually pull it off. There's no way they could have done that. With the types of radar that are out there, even if they were told to shut down the radar, it still wouldn't be totally shut down. So... And these are people that were, I don't know if they were exactly there, but they handle this type of aircraft and this type of radar. And it's just impossible. It had to be an inside job. There's no way around it.
Well, that was the first thing that struck me when it took place. I didn't, have any background in it, but there was just too many things that were just odd. And that's without having any information from anything. It's just, knowing the little bit I knew, I knew there was a lot of questions to be asked.
Yeah.
And that have never been answered by officially in a capacity that held anybody accountable that should have been.
And that's something that we really are going to have to do to really take our country back. We're going to have to hold people accountable. You know, as unpleasant as it may be, they're going to have to face the truth, and they're going to have to pay for it.
Right, and that means you can't stonewall the evidence and create commissions that totally leave out witnesses and people that were involved in it, leave their testimony out. There is so much out there, and on the internet there's sites where that you have Patriots Question 911. I mean, there's hundreds of people who are willing to go out there and make statements to the effect that, that we need to have an investigation. I would like to see much further than that, because I've never found any of these investigations, even going back to the Warren Report or whatever, ever
right.
done anything other than, you know, be a cover-up.
Yeah, they tell their own little story and make it up as they go.
And interestingly enough, and this is where that accountability part comes in, too, is that some of those characters that have been very much involved in this were alive and well at that point in time and involved in some areas that might be worth looking into.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that really need to start coming clean if they know information. They need to, you know, just break out of that mold of silence, because the story can be told now still, I think, and the truth can be achieved, but as time goes on, it becomes harder and harder, because evidence vanishes and people vanish. And
telling the truth can be a dangerous thing.
If you take, you know, our world right now, or say the United States, and you peel it like an onion, well, the center's 9/11. That's what we need to get to, is 9/11, and work out from there, because that's where a lot of this started. Of course, it was planned way before.
That's what's really interesting, is when you really start looking back into some historical books and documents and that sort,
mm-hmm.
It's no accident that, and it's been, I picked up a book that came out of the Laurie Air Force Base Library. It's called Report from 9/11. Report from Iron Mountain. It's a much longer title than that, but this is back when they were planning these sort of things. This is back written in the 60s. They tried to discredit the book, but the real irony is to it is everything it was talking about has already happened.
Yeah, I had a conversation with another radio host, Melinda Pillsbury Foster.
Interesting lady. I just met her last night. Yeah.
I guess it's been now about 6 months ago. And we were talking about 1984, you know, the book that George Orwell wrote back mm-hmm. in the 40s. And we were doing a little research online, and somebody had drawn up the maps of the various countries that were created by Orwell. And just reading over the synopsis, again, it had been years since I've read the book, and it was almost like a playbook for what's happening right now. You know, with like the Patriot Act calling this the demolition of the Constitution Act the Patriot Act, you know, just the opposites.
Mm-hmm.
To plant something in people's minds that this is the patriotic thing to do, is to let us take away all your freedom. You know, that's that was pretty much mentioned, you know, throughout 1984.
I've got to pick that up and read it again. I've been meaning to.
It's an excellent book.
There's just, well, the whole thing is, these people, what's going on out there in the world these days, it's all been planned for not just 10 or 20 years. Some, very much of it has probably been planned for a century or longer.
Well, it could be. I mean, at least the at least the ideas are out there. Excuse me again. But yeah, I think that at least since early 1900s,
mm-hmm.
yeah, when the Federal Reserve was created, I think that's when a lot of this really got legs. But that would be under President Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think plans have been underway and just waiting for the right time. And of course, you have new generations that come up. You know, like mm-hmm. take Bush, and you know he's following the footsteps of his grandfather in a lot of sense. And each time you have a new generation, you lose certain things and you gain certain things, and you become bolder, but you don't always become smarter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he took a leap in Iraq, and it's going to come back to bite him, and bite him hard.
Well, I think what I need to kind of make a summation of what we're, you know, doing this evening, and again, pay tribute to Captain May and to you too for, I mean, that was one heck of a leap to be able to print his articles and step out there when nobody else was willing to go there.
Okay.
I'm sure it was hitting you in the pocketbook big time at that point, which they love to, you know, find our weak spots, and many of us, that, you know, it's the income that is, you know, our weak area. And the main thing that I feel like, whether what we say is the truth or not, we need to start asking questions. Because there's a lot going on out there and becoming active and moving on it instead of expecting somebody else to do it. Because if you do that, that's when you give up your rights.
Yeah, we've got to go for the truth, because really, truth trumps everything.
Right.
It really does.
Right.
And you're not safe unless you know the truth.
And
that's been a big problem.
Yeah, and it's a hard thing to do, too.
Yeah.
At time, because it's gonna, when you start looking at the truth out there, you're gonna find out that there's a lot of things that you weren't aware of, and that you've carried out your life as if it was, you know everything that you were aware of was the truth, and it wasn't that way at all.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will realize they were sold a bill of goods. They have been for a long time, and it's going to be a rude awakening, I think, to many. Well, but it's essential.
Right, and with people like Captain May standing up there and trying to wake us up, you know, look around, you know, I've been trained in this, and this is what I see. I look for these codes. I look for these sort of things and connect the dots. And we can start doing that in our own right and find out that, you know, we can, you know, make a difference. You know, we've, you know, letting these little things go and not holding people accountable, or letting our elections be totally corrupted. And Bev Harris was making that very apparent this afternoon, that, you know, she's been looking into it for 8 years and found out it's as bad as ever. And so, Leon, I really want to thank you for coming on and enjoyed our interview here, and keep putting out the truth out there, Leon.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay, well, good evening.
Good evening to you.
Uh-huh. Well, this is Truth Quest, and it's KHEN. 106.9 Salida. And I wanted to do a few little public service announcements before the evening was over. And that was Leon Smith with the Lone Star Arcana class. And if you type that in on Google, it'll bring up his latest edition of his newspaper and some of the other articles that he has on there, and support patriots like him. I mean, that really takes something to be able to step forward and print the truth when, he's right in the devil's den as far as